welcome to my podcast. I'm Dr. Lauren Goodall. I'm a clinical psychologist, and this is Psychology in Short. Before we start, I'm going to say that I have a webpage. It's called drlaurengoodall.com, and it has a previous audio cast. So if you'd like to see my last segment, hear my last segment, it's available there. And it is also an opportunity for you to be able to drop some feedback for topics, okay? I'd also like to say that I have a book out. It's called Bipolar is Not an STD, and it is available on Amazon. And I do, in certain podcasts, take an excerpt from it or two and discuss, depending, of course, on what the topic is. So again, that is available on Amazon. And today's topic is bipolar 1, and I'm tackling the topic of bipolar because it's one that's largely misconstrued and negatively stereotyped, and I have worked with it throughout my career extensively, and I find it to be a very workable diagnosis, a very treatable diagnosis, and a lot of people who are very successful have the diagnosis, a lot of creative people do amazingly well with it. And I guess this is a good point. Somebody says, hey, will you tell me about your title? Why you came up with your title? Okay, so the title of the book is Bipolar is Not an STD. So I guess it's a little bit of an eye-opener. But, you know, as much as I like reading textbooks, I think sometimes textbook definitions, we get lost in them. And so I wanted something that would be a bit more straightforward, cover what I wanted it to cover. But yeah, I did put a more questionable cover on it because I just wanted to say, hey, you know. But it's also because I think when I like to describe something, I just kind of put it out there. Bipolar is not an STD. Basically, I see bipolar as very treatable and very fixable, and it doesn't have to be scary. So that was my first thought with the cover. So hopefully I have satisfied that answer. All right, so getting with the way people have been treated or described with bipolar, we'll start with on page 16 of my book, quote, people will tell you horror stories that the person is irresponsible, lazy, doesn't get to work on time, drinks too much, gets argumentative, doesn't sleep, or sleeps all the time. What ends up happening is that we put character labels on an illness that is largely a medical condition. And quite frankly, a lot of those descriptors can describe a lot of people, especially on the weekend when they go get drunk. So it's not even a very accurate diagnostic framework to even work from. It's just basically attacking somebody's character. And what I'm saying is, people with bipolar have different symptoms, okay? But a lot of times, even professionals will say, describe the behavior. I'm not going to say the behavior is where it's at. I believe that behavior is more topical. It's not the root. Okay, behavior is useful information. And in certain cases, it's more useful than not. But mood disorders, I don't find it particularly useful. As I said, some of those things you could describe other conditions with fairly easily. So when we look at it from a medical condition, which I do, I say, let's break this down and break it down a bit tighter. All right. So first of all, there's the word unipolar and bipolar. Okay. What does that mean? Unipolar means one-sided. Okay. So you might hear the term unipolar depression. It just means that the depression stays relatively fixed in that arena, okay? Whereas bipolar is where the mood is going to change. It has access to two arenas, okay? This does not mean schizophrenia or split-mindedness. That's not it. It's just that the mood has the ability to shift. and it has the ability to shift from a depressive state or a down state to a good mood to a hyper mood, okay? The extreme form of a hyper mood is, we'll call it manic. Not thrilled with that word either. I think it just doesn't do it any service. Really, the word manic, all that means is high energy, okay? Or as I say, super happy with a lot of projects. That's the way I would describe it. But anyway, so you've got this. So if you had, say, a volume control, a horizontal volume control, and you had depression on one end, and as you moved that dial to the right, from left to right, moving towards a happier mood, a more hyper space, okay, that would be mania on the other side, okay, on the other extreme. Okay, so what are some components of bipolar? Bipolar consists of depression. So we know what sad mood is, low energy, right? Well, it also has anxiety. And I always call anxiety the cheater psychological symptom. Okay, why? Because it is usually comorbid, or as we say, hangs with depression. But it also can be part of moving up that dial where anxiety is present. Okay, so it can kind of go both ways. And I also said that there's energy, different changes in energy. And I think that is really helpful information. And there is also this aspect of impulsivity, okay? And impulsivity is important information. It can be pretty noteworthy in the area of bipolar. A person tends to, shall we say, you spend more than you probably intend to if you're in more of a manic space. You also will be more chatty. You will also tend to be more open when you meet people. You might say things that you normally would be more guarded with. And your physical space, you'll be more open, in the sense that you might be more huggy. You might be more romantic. You may have more than one relationship and more than one intimate relationship. So it is not uncommon to see impulsivity can be present with ADHD. It could be present with depression, but it's also very present with bipolar. But this is more of the type of behavior. You'll see more of the spending, more of the chatty, more of the relationship kind of stuff. Come on board. And we are going to take a quick break, and I will be right back with you. Okay, let's continue forward. One of the main neurotransmitters, and I say with bipolar, we've talked a little bit about neurotransmitters before, but I'm going to say the main one. So these are the chemical messengers involved in the brain around mood, but specifically more around higher energy is going to be, and lower energy, is norepinephrine. Norepinephrine is your coffee maker in your brain. So if your brain was a barista, okay, and instead of making you one cup of coffee, one cup of espresso, it churns out three espressos, you are really, really going to feel it, okay? And some of that is going to be pretty, pretty lousy. Too much of a good thing is going to make you distractible, okay? Even though you might start projects, you might have a miserable time staying focused or completing them. So too much. So norepinephrine kind of goes on the wild side and says, oh, not only am I going to give you energy, I'm going to give you a wild amount of energy. So that's where you could stay up. You could stay up for 2 days at a time, sleep very little. And that's where I see other things coming into play, where people who really aren't treated for it like to do their own self-medication. That's where pot comes into play sometimes, just to try to slow it down. That's where drinking comes into play. People start to drink more because it's very physically uncomfortable to be that hyped up. Okay. Whereas, let's say, you know, what your emotional energy would look like, say, in a boardroom. Okay. If you were in a boardroom and you look around, you see all these people with these coffee cups, and their body stance is very crunched in, okay? Maybe their hands are around their cup. The emotional expression is pretty limited in those spaces, right? You don't expect much. Well, with bipolar, when a person is experiencing more of the manic pieces, more of the energy breaking through, okay, they're going to be chattier. They're going to talk faster than usual. Faster than their usual. They're going to be able to cover a lot of topics quickly. It's kind of like your brain is on supercharge. So you know what you're talking about. You make perfect sense. You just will cover a lot of topics faster than you normally would. Okay. So like I said, some energy is good. Too much energy is not fun for the person experiencing it either. But also that's where a lot of creativity comes in. Writers of music, musicians, you name it. It's all been done before with this type of mood dysregulation. And so there's going to be a lot of energy. And people say, well, where do you find these people? Bipolar? They expect to find them in the psych hospital. No. Super manic people spend a lot of time at the gym, okay? Those are the people that can do, like, not one spin class, they could do two, and they'll tell you about it. And, well, they have a little bit too much energy going on, okay? So that's where you might find them. Another visual of what bipolar could look like is if you had, say, two couples going into a bar. And at first, when you first meet one another, and it's all polite, and everything's fine, quick discussion, blah-de-blah. And then you get a chance, and you start ordering drinks, okay? So, two drinks in. And people get a bit more expressive. They're more relaxed. The good neurotransmitters are flowing, right? There's serotonin, there's dopamine, and it's all going. And there's some norepinephrine in the mix. And somebody is going to say, in that couple usually, okay, the chatter can start changing, okay? And things can get a little more heated. People make jokes. You know, it's like, thanks for keeping your filter not, okay? Whereas when you're in a more impulsive space, you might say things that normally you would tend to be more guarded with, but all of a sudden you decide to spare nobody your thoughts, okay? You're just going to lay it out thick. And sometimes it's a little too much information, or as we say, what, TMI? All right. But not only that, is that we tend to get more open with our physical space, okay? As we get happy and hyper, our physical space expands, okay? Where we might be leaning into somebody, we might be touching somebody, we might be putting our head on their shoulders. That's just all part of this happy, hyper kind of thing. Okay, so there, it could be a little confusing. So it happens when people are drinking, but it can also happen when somebody's not drinking, and more of a manic space is going to be a bit more expansive like that. As I said, chattery, just can talk a lot. The quantity's going to change. You know, when a person's depressed, they generally don't talk a lot. They may socially isolate, but as the volume control kind of turned up, you're going to see more of the happy hyper kind of thing. And like I said, the biggest problem with impulsivity is sometimes you don't always think things through the way you normally would. So that's a factor that needs to be worked with and thought about. And that's where, you know, medication management is looked at, because on either extreme, it's very uncomfortable. And people can be in these bipolar spaces for periods of time, meaning you can have distinctive periods of depression and you can have distinctive periods of mania. And there are periods that are in between these spaces, but I'm not going to go into all of that for this segment. I'm just going to show you that beyond behavior, there is a neurotransmitter issue. There's a norepinephrine, that fight or flight, that coffee maker in your brain is keeping you from sleeping. It's keeping you talking. It's keeping you chatty. It's helping you take on a lot of projects, but sometimes it's just too much, way too much. So that's where medication management and seeing a psychiatrist or a psych nurse to kind of bring it down a notch or two, so that you can feel better and resolve it. And I find that really one of the biggest problems at first is that people will start complaining that they just can't sleep at night. And the longer it goes, the worse it gets. So the first battle is to get them sleeping. And usually something like a Xanax isn't going to work, or an Ativan. It's just a couple hours. If this is a definite state that they're going into, you need something, like I said, that the psychiatrist or psych nurse is going to be able to give to a mood stabilizer that will kind of level it out and slow it down. So those are some distinctions, and understanding that bipolar just has the dual access. You can have one mood or you can have another mood, and they can shift out over a period of time. Alrighty, well, I'm going to close on that note. Again, thank you for joining me. I'm Dr. Lauren Goodall, and I hope to be hearing from you. And feel free to visit my webpage at drlaurengoodall.com. I'd love to hear your feedback and some topics of interest. Thank you very much.